We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, Megan, AJ, Jesse, all back with you because I'm still battling this cold, but we'll do our best today. Everyone else will have to carry me a little bit. Lots of Avs news and lots of other team news as well, but we'll primarily be focusing on what the Avs are doing today, what they've done, really, not what they're doing. The biggest news over the weekend, of course, was the Avs getting the deal done with Alexander Georgiev. The $3.4 million over 3 years, which buys them two UFA years of the goaltender. So there is that. But, AJ, I know you've talked a little bit about it being a little bit overpriced. Obviously, there isn't a great track record from Georgiev historically by his numbers. Where are we all sitting with this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally, like, taking shots on Twitter right now from random dudes who think I'm a couch GM or whatever. And, this is just nitpicking it here, but really, I just think that it's just a couple hundred thousand higher than I would have gone there. And when you look at, when you pull up all the list of comparable contracts, guys of similar age, guys going into similar situations, the one, like, the contract actually fits in perfectly. The one big difference is that Georgiev is the only guy coming out of that list that had a sub 900 save percentage the year before. And had been, like, on a decline. All those other guys had been steadily on the rise or were coming off of singular great seasons. So that's, I think, and I just, it's weird to me that all of a sudden, at goaltender no less, that performance would not matter in that contract. So it's a very, like, we had talked last week, I always joke that the easiest contract to give is the backup gaunt starter 3x3, like, in that neighborhood, something in there, and that's exactly what the Avs did. 3 years at $3.4 million. For me, it's $400,000 too much, but if you're quibbling over $400,000, you're right in the neighborhood anyway, right? Like, you're, and let's be real, if Georgiev plays to the caliber that the Avalanche clearly believe him capable of, 3 or 3.4 doesn't matter. It's a huge steal. It's a huge steal.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I saw you, like you said, getting into it with a couple people yesterday, today on Twitter. And I'll be honest, my kind of knee jerk was the same. I was like, oh, come on, AJ, it's 400K. But, like, you know, the point you made of, like, it does add up, and suddenly if you end up with three or four of these deals that are just a little bit of an overpay, you know, it adds up, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the ending of what the way you ended that statement right there is everything, right? right now, today, it's July 11th. They signed that deal, what, 2 days ago now? So the 9th. So in July, you sit there and you go, maybe a little bit more than you see a guy in this position typically get. But as you said yesterday on Twitter, you may have even said it here off the top. Sorry, I'm getting a couple texts in and out that time of year. You know, if Alexander Georgiev comes in and they obviously see something in him, you have to put some faith in what this pro scouting department has done, what Joe Sakic and now Chris McFarland, which we're going to get into, has done over the last few years, where they've identified guys that they say, hey, we think this guy fits a certain style. We like what he does. He can come in and help. You know, they did it with Philip Grubauer, and I think most people would say that was a overall success, right? They did it with Pavel Francouz. They just did it with Darcy Kemper. They turned him into a Stanley Cup winning goaltender. You say that we trust our system and our coaches, UC Parkula, is going to get this guy where we want him to be. And suddenly next July, you're looking at this going, holy smokes, they're only paying this guy 3.4 for two more years. And I think that's kind of where you put that faith. And this also goes back a little bit to something I talked about. We all talked about during the Cup final, you know, when in that game four, when Darcy Kemper game three, when Darcy Kemper struggled a little bit, and there were some people out there who were saying, oh, do you maybe start looking at Francouz with how well he played in the conference final? No, you have to say, this is our guy. We are going with this goaltender. And to me, this money is, as much as it is obviously a commitment to Georgiev, it's them saying, hey, we trust you fully. We think you are the guy to come in here and be a number one. We're not doing this wishy-washy. You barely make more than our backup. You should be looking over your shoulder. It's a gamble. Contracts almost always are. You know, there's some team is going to make some huge gamble with Nazem Kadri, and there's going to be Avs fans mad that the Avs didn't do that. Every contract is a gamble. To me, at 3.4, I really like this bet. Time will tell.
I think it's a reflection, too, of the current market for goaltenders. There's a little bit of inflation to account for, and we'll probably see this picture become much clearer when Darcy Kemper becomes a Cap or an Oiler in the near future. I think that Darcy Kemper is going to get paid, and we're going to see that number, and it's going to make sense why this was the best possible solution for the Avalanche.
Well, and going back to what we talked about, sorry, AJ, to, you know, a little bit last year, where it's like you don't want to end up in a bad situation, Megan. I think that's a great point. You know, Alexander Georgiev, someone here, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe after this year could have gone UFA had he just done a 1 year, right? Theoretically. So
1 year of RFA left. Yeah.
So after this year.
Correct. He was RFA coming into this year. And then if he had taken a 1 year deal, he would have been a UFA. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you. So, you know, maybe his camp, and obviously this is something that maybe we won't know, but maybe they said, well, look, you know, the goaltending market's pretty tight. If you're the Avs, did you really, you know, maybe they said, we'll take less money on a 1 year deal, but then would the Avs end up in the same situation next year? Georgiev goes out and has a great season. You put him on a 1 year deal. Now you're facing down either UFA or give this dude 5.5. You bought yourself a little bit of insurance over the next couple of years.
Yeah. And it also gives them time, because there is still the Eustace on it. And is he going to be part of this? Because it gives them no pressure to develop over the next couple of years. Hey, we've got our one and our two for the next two seasons for sure. We've got these two guys picked out.
Yep.
And the 3.4, like, it's not high enough that if this goes sideways, it will be really difficult to dump it. If it just doesn't go well, right? So it's really, from all angles, like, it's fine. It's a roll of the dice. Like, the biggest roll of the dice involved here is Georgiev himself, not how much they're paying him or any of this. It's, are they right about this guy? And because if they're not, they burn a Stanley Cup caliber roster. They burn a year of this roster being wrong about this guy, and then they'll figure it out from there. But that's the big thing. Like, that's, for me, that's the biggest question, is Georgiev himself.
Yeah. But like what Megan said, and I'm sure you guys talked about this when he signed, you bring him in, and a couple hours later, you see Fleury re-signs in Minnesota. Obviously, they made their decision with Kemper. He was going to be too expensive for the Avs. It is what it is. Husso signed already. He ended up getting his extension, too. That's it. That's the goalie market. It's done.
Well, I was going to say... Like the Vanecek trade, too. Like,
yeah.
Kind of like takes, I think, New Jersey out of it, where you're just like, okay. But yeah, the rest of this, there's still like 6-7 teams that have decisions to make. Well, and Darcy Kemper is about, he's going to be top 10 salary, and wherever that thing ends, he might push top 5.
Well, and yeah, you know, it sounds like Kemper's probably going to end up in Washington, which I actually think is a great fit for him. But I mean, to your point, Rudo, you got the Oilers and the Maple Leafs fighting over Jack Campbell. Look, I think Jack Campbell has been a great story.
It screamed 1 year wonder for sure.
Oh, dude. Thank you. I was trying to think of the most polite way to put this, because I was a big Jack Campbell fan going back to the WJCs. Really thought he was going to be the next big thing. So, like, it's been great to see him find some success. But the back half of that year last year was concerning if you're someone looking to bring in Jack Campbell and a team that struggles as much defensively as the Oilers do. That to me doesn't look like a great fit. And then Toronto, you know, AJ, you just mentioned burning a year of a Stanley Cup roster, looking to bring in Matt Murray. That's going to be their fix in net. And you just look out there and couple $100,000 overpay on Alex Georgiev, I think, is going to be the least questionable decision teams will make on goaltenders this week.
I will say, though, like we trust the Avs know what they're doing. But I mentioned this a couple days ago, but if Edmonton had done this exact same thing, they made this trade and then gave him this contract, we'd be crushing it.
Yeah, because Ken Holland doesn't have a reputation of making the right move.
Right. I was going to say, and the other thing, AJ, I don't remember if you said it on the pod or if we were all just kind of talking about it, before we started the show or whatever. Whether you like it or not, the Avs won a cup and they get a year or two here of, cool, we get to take some swings and try some stuff out and see what works. Yeah. You win a year or two of goodwill. To your point, if the Oilers did it, it's like, cool, you've pissed away the first 6-7 years of Connor McDavid's career, and now you're going to take a gamble. The Avs have disposable income. They can go to the casino. The Oilers just got their check on Monday. They have $18 worth of bills. They got a check for $19. If they head to the casino, it's like, woof. You know what I mean?
They're trying to double their money at the casino.
Right.
Well, and it's not like the Avs are, we're all in on Georgiev, right? They have Francois, which they know is a capable, high-end backup at worst. They have Anonen down the line a couple years from now. They have enough capital where if they wanted to go out and trade for a goaltender, they probably could if it came to that. We'll get there if we need to get there. It's not important to talk about now. Jesse, you already mentioned it. I just want to get it confirmed from Megan and AJ here. Are you guys both fully in on pure starter for Georgiev?
I feel like that was probably something that needed to be agreed upon for him to come here too. I think he needs to have confidence that he's the starter.
Okay. So plenty of minutes available for him to figure it out, if you want to put it that way here. It will be interesting when he arrives. We said the same thing about Darcy. We said the same thing about Grubauer. Give a guy 20 games with a new team for him to get settled in. Those first part of the season, nobody knows what it's going to look like yet.
Yeah, well, especially with his hungovers, all these assholes are going to be. They're going to punt on October entirely. He's not going to have a defense in front of him because they're all going to be drying out.
Okay. We are brought to you, of course, by DraftKings Sportsbook. You can go over there. You can sign up for an account today with code DNVR. Get on it while you can. They have amazing odds boosts for users every single day. But right now, when you do sign up with that DNVR code, you can get up to $1,000 in a risk-free bet. That's right. All you have to do is make your first bet up to $1,000. And if it doesn't win, you get it back to bet it again. So, you know, if you only want to put in $100, you get $100 of a risk-free bet. Your first bet is risk-free, basically. They're literally giving you a chance to win a bunch of free money. And then if it doesn't work out, you can go try it again. So you can throw down on all sorts of action. All the summer sports are in full swing. They even have Ultimate Frisbee Leagues you can bet on, which is wild. I saw there was a Ultimate Frisbee League going on by my house recently. So you'll have to go go get in some action on that. You can download
Can I admit I don't know what that is?
It's like Air Raid, but with a Frisbee.
I don't know what that is.
It's like football, but you can't run. You can't move your feet.
Wait. Are you saying you don't know what Ultimate Frisbee is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
What? Ultimate Frisbee.
Even if you've never played, of all four of us on here, you seem like the person that would be into Ultimate Frisbee. Frisbee.
Looking around.
It's a very niche sport. You seem like you'd be into it.
It's just football, but replace the ball with a frisbee, and when you have the frisbee, you can't move.
Yeah, you can't run.
That sounds awesome.
It's great.
I watch dudes play frisbee golf on TikTok. Those guys are
frisbee
nuts.
Golf is trash. Agreed. Frisbee is fun.
I'm in my new studio. I haven't set it up yet because I've been sick, but I got the green screen back there. We're figuring it out, all right? We're going to get the new studio set up.
By the way, the Avs are getting a locker room remodel.
Finally.
Yeah, we knew that was coming. I don't know how I knew that was coming, but I guess I just assumed if I knew it that other people did. But yeah, cool.
Hey, look.
Maybe now people can stop whining about it.
DraftKings money, so... Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Okay. That's a lot of different numbers. Oh, that's like all of the numbers. They changed that. Anyway, if you're here in Colorado, call 1-800-522-4700.
Yeah. Wow.
I'm glad that happened to you and not me. I would have.
If you need help and you're in any of these eight different states, here's the specific information for you.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, we're also brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been slacking. Really wish I hadn't have been slacking because maybe I wouldn't be still sick 10 days later. So go get yourself some Athletic Greens. Help your immune system not be like mine and terrible. Highly recommend you go check it out. It's just one scoop in your glass of water every morning. Super easy, super fast to do. A lot of people love it, including Jesse Montano, who like... fiends that stuff away from everyone else at DNVR.
Well, look how quickly he's recovered from his illness compared to you.
That's true.
One of you has been shotgunning Athletic Greens, huh?
I'll say this whole pod is an ad for Athletic Greens right now.
It's just that easy. It'll help your immune system. It's got a bunch of probiotics and vitamins and all sorts of other stuff in there that's super good for you. So highly recommend. They're also giving you a year's supply of vitamin D when you order and 5 travel packs. So even when you have to roll out to Arizona for the draft like I did, you can take it with you. Excuse me. Okay. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. A couple of other bits and pieces of player news for the Avs here. That being first, the 2-year extension of Jacob McDonald. I think expectations are pretty straightforward there. He'll be a 7th, 8th D, maybe a guy who plays for the Eagles a good bit.
Yeah, I mentioned on Twitter yesterday that I don't think that they would have taken the time to bake in the AHL money that they did if they weren't planning on him being an Eagle, assuming everybody's healthy. Like,
you're right.
He's probably the 8th or 9th guy right now. And an important, honestly, like an oddly important 9th guy, because after him.
Well, I mean, he's had a good run with the Avs in terms of what you're looking for out of a call-up. He's someone that if you get a couple injuries in, you're comfortable with plugging him in. He's been around the team. Yeah, I wasn't surprised by that at all. And McDonald seems to like it here.
And he's been really productive for the Eagles. I wrote a piece this morning for everybody to go and read, just as like a news rundown from the weekend and stuff. But McDonald for the Eagles has 67 points in 89 games since coming over from the Panthers. So he's been he's played both forward and defense. So those numbers are obviously a lot more impressive just for a defenseman. He's played a lot of forward, but that's kind of his value there, is that if you do have injuries at both forward and defense, NHL roster, AHL roster, like Jacob McDonald's your guy. You know, at the NHL level, they have Curtis McDermott doing both, one contract for two positions, but they've also got a backup guy.
Yeah.
To do one job or to do for one contract, two positions. So, kind of an underrated, important guy to keep around. Also, just love the guy.
Yeah. Megan, what were you going to say?
I know, too, some people are maybe concerned about the priority because we're looking at Manson and we're looking at Val still, but it's because of his utility. And the Eagles themselves have a lot of UFAs as well, and so they need to nice a roster next year just starting there. Like, I don't expect Dennis Gilbert to return to the Eagles' decor. So, like, Jacob McDonald. I went to high school with someone named Jason McDonald, and I'm prone to saying that sometimes. But I mean,
shout out Jason McDonald.
Called out.
Jason McDonald. But it's in part just the utility of what he is as a player. When he does get called up to the Avalanche, if not for that injury in December, I think we would have seen even more of him up with the Avs, just because of everything that was going on with COVID at that time. So that kind of just set back his season a little bit. But he's been a really effective player at both levels, and the Eagles will be very grateful to have him back if he spends a part of his season there as well.
Yeah, the order of importance is superseded by guys who you're like, hey, here's a contract, and they're like, okay, I'll take
it. Right. I'll say that is the other thing too that people forget sometimes. It's like, you don't think that it was maybe a little bit easier negotiation for Jacob McDonald than it is for Val Nichushkin, who's going to be coveted by 20 other NHL teams willing to give him big money. It's not that people wouldn't want Jacob McDonald, but little bit easier there.
Yeah.
Well, and especially when the Avs are offering him $450K both years in the AHL.
Right.
That'll put him, I don't know if it'll be top 10, but he'll be probably top 20 highest paid players in all of the AHL with that kind of salary. So for him, for a guy like that, you know, a guy that's not a guaranteed NHL guy, instead of going and wandering, he's just like, hey, give me an AHL raise and I'll just keep doing my thing.
Settle down here, make 900 grand, feel pretty good about that for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Right. I mean, like, he's got to be in like leadership group conversation for the Eagles as well. Yeah. Oh, so like, I assume Megna is still going to be the guy, but you know, You want a guy like that, especially that defense is going to be, it's got a chance to be pretty young next year. I'll be curious to see what they do.
I mean, they have four guys signed right now, including right. Omot, Zaravyov, and Klerman.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I want to see what they do in free. Like, do they bring Jordan Gross back? You know, how do they fill out this roster here? Because the guys who are all free agents are all their AHL veterans, guys who've been around for a while. So, you know, anyway, McDonald's a low key important signing for their depth reasons. And, you know, just for the viability, the competitiveness of the Eagles, that's the caliber of player you want wanting to be in your organization.
Yeah, for sure. On the flip side, at the NHL level, we found out today the Avs are not going to be qualifying Nick Aubé-Kubel, so he's going to be heading to free agency properly. It will be interesting.
We'll get that full list in about an hour.
Yeah, right after our show ends, as is tradition. but it does leave a couple of questions. It's not exactly clear what the Avs depth forwards are going to look like this next year. Yes, they brought back Cogliano, but with Knack out, with Darren Helm heading towards free agency, with the questions around guys like Nico Sturm, it could be a different look in the bottom six for the Avs quite a bit next year.
Well, and right now, I mean, more than the bottom six, man, they don't have a second line.
Also true, with Valentine still.
No Burakovsky, no Kadri, no Nichushkin. Lekkonen is an RFA. He will get a qualifying offer by the deadline today. But after that, like, they've got eight signed forwards with no qualifying offer coming from Knack and making him a UFA. Lekkonen getting a qualifying offer. That's nine guys under team control that they'll have. I'm dropping Lucas Sedlak and replacing him with Ben Myers, if anybody is going to look at cap friendly and wonder where I am putting this roster together. That's nine guys that they've got under contract that we know will be Avs. So they need a second line, man. Like, it's still, you know, they're working on it. It sounds everything Nichushkin related continues to be positive from everything that I've been able to dig up on it. It all sounds like it's moving in the right direction. After that, none of these guys could be back.
Yep. You never know for sure with UFAs. Until the paper is inked, you never know for sure, because dudes hit free agency and then someone rolls in and offers them something crazy. Stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's never any tampering. No teams have talked with any of these guys, I'm sure. That hasn't happened.
You're right. We're not talking about Darcy Kemper and the Caps. Because teams definitely don't do that.
Would never. But it is an interesting conversation just to see how it shakes out, who ends up where in the Avs forward core. Obviously, we'll get more into that on Wednesday night after free agency is a little bit more settled. But we'll see where things go with the Avs lineup. The other big topic of the day, at least Avalanche-related, officially now, McFarland moving into the GM position of the team. Sakic getting promoted, at least in name, to president of hockey operations. This is something we've kind of talked about, at least AJ and I, for a while now, about what was going to happen with McFarland. A lot of teams have interviewed him over the last couple of years, and ultimately where he would go, where he would end up, and what his role would be. So how important is this to ingrain McFarland into the Avs front office?
He already is, man. He's been a huge, like, Joe Sakic obviously gets the accolades. He's the guy at the top and blah, blah, blah. But Chris McFarland has had a transformative effect on that front office. When he showed up, he was the one that helped build out the analytics department that the Avalanche have. And they aggressively went after some of the guys that were doing their public work was excellent. Obviously, you know, the people that remember Eric and Eric Parnas and Dawson Spriggings and the work that they were doing when they were free agents, I guess. And the Avs scooped him up and were like, build an analytics department for us. And they have been, they've done a great job. Honestly, they're one of the most advanced analytics departments in the NHL. And you can see the way that they have married their pro scouting with their analytics, because how often do they acquire a guy and we're like, wow, this guy is an analytics black hole. What's happening here? It was like Curtis McDermott, right? Like, and the Avs very clearly, that was one where they very clearly valued something else. And they were like, we don't care about this. We want what this guy is as a person in our locker room. And like, we want like the face punching, you know, of, you know, the brutishness for the regular season and all that. That's great. But the way that they've married it, a lot of that, those two departments, because a lot of teams have analytics departments, just don't get listened to. And that's not the case in Colorado. Colorado's done a really good job of incorporating their analytics and how they approach these things. And the way that their checks and balances that they have set up. Part of the reason that they're comfortable with a guy like Georgiev is because the analytics guys are going to look at that. The goalie guys are going to look at that and they're going to say, we can make this work. We really like this.
Was it Micah McCurdy that said a team should pay me $1 million a year just so I can say no to them 10 times?
Yep. And it would be worth it. And think of how many bad front offices could have spent that $1 million. And it would have been great for them. I mean, everybody's going to look at Edmonton. I look at Edmonton, I guess. And I think he would have done wonders. He would have been worth $10 million for them to just say, don't do this. Not offer any other solutions, just to say no. And so anyway, McFarland's been a huge part of that. He's been a really important voice. He's been a really important counter voice to Joe at times. And they've got a great working relationship. I think the Avs were comfortable with the idea of letting McFarland go out and interview for a couple of GM jobs that he was unlikely to get. And then when he started to get into the finalist category of some of these, the Avs stopped giving permission. And when the Avs did not allow him to go and seek GM jobs that were open during this season, that writing is on the wall. The only reason that an organization ever does that is because they're looking at internally promoting that guy. And Chris McFarland's name is on the Stanley Cup, and he absolutely has earned being a general manager in the NHL. I don't want anybody to try and downplay how important he has been to Colorado's front office, like, revival. As great as Joe Sakic has obviously been, he's the guy, you know, pulling the trigger, making the decisions, building a lot of these relationships, all this stuff. Like, after every game that, you know, in the before times, Chris McFarland was in that locker room talking to guys, you know, giving them fist pumps, doing this and that. He's a big part of this. And keeping him here has been a low key, like, really important thing for this organization the last couple of years. It was always nervy times when he went out on the GM interview trail.
Okay, I do want to talk a little bit more about that, but we are brought to you by FOCO. DNVR has teamed up with FOCO to give you access to the best collectibles and sports gear around for all of your Colorado sports teams, but obviously the Avs championship gear is the way to go right now. So FOCO will have something for everybody. They have licensed merchandise for men, women, kids, all sorts. They got bobbleheads. Apparently they have swimsuits and Crocs also, which I didn't know, but that's kind of crazy. If you want to go get some Avalanche Crocs, you can get on that and buy whatever to your heart's content. So highly recommend you check it out. FOCO's got you covered with all of the best Colorado merchandise. If you go to FOCO.com, that's FOCO.com. There's also a link down in the YouTube description if you want to make it easy. And you can get 10% off when you use code DNVR over there. We're, of course, brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery as well. I have to say, Four Peaks over in Arizona was pretty good. They're pretty good, but they're not quite Breckenridge Brewery. They didn't quite live up to the Breck Brew over here the way Breck Brew has me hooked in. So you can get dozens of different beers from Breck Brew. You can check them out at your local liquor store. Go to breckbrew.com to see online all of the amazing stuff there. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Before we get back into McFarland, Evan has been doing a little GMing of his own, and I want to see what y'all think and what Chats thinks. Is this jersey an abomination, or is it cool? It's a Pearl Jam Nordiques jersey from a concert they did in Quebec, so it makes sense, sort of. But it's customized with the Pearl Jam logo thing going on in the middle. And here's the part that bugs me. Notice that the sleeves both say number 5. On the back, it's number 16.
Was that, I don't have anything on to say. Like May 16th or something?
The concert was in 2016, so that explains the 16. I have not had the 5 explained to me yet. So I don't know. I'm seeing a lot of negativity from the chat.
Just don't wear it, Evan. It's cool to have, man. Just don't wear it, brother.
Wow. All right. I didn't think it was going to be good, but y'all are pretty. All right. Spence likes it, so that means it's terrible. Confirmed.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Just had to throw it out there.
Concert was 5/5/16. Cool.
Okay, there you go. At least it makes still hate it, but at least it makes sense.
Why does the puck have a lightning bolt on it?
Yeah, it almost looks like a Grateful Dead.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought the puck was.
But it's Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I'm just gonna let this be. I have no thoughts.
So there's like a couple of people in here who like it. All right. Anyway, Chris McFarland, how it's never just one guy, right? AJ, you're talking about how it's an entire front office department, but how big is his voice in the front office? How much say does he really have?
I guess that'll eternally be the question, right? Like even with Joe kicking upstairs, Sakic may not be eligible to win GM of the Year award moving forward, but I think people are going to continue to just give him the credit for it, right?
Yep.
So I guess that'll always be the question. How much say does he really have? He's obviously comfortable with the amount of say that he has, because if he thought he was being minimized in any kind of meaningful way, he would not be taking this job. So, and this was the sort of launch pad that being the AGM. I mean, yeah, remember, he was the AGM in Columbus their entire time. Yep. He was there when they started. He was there that whole time. And then when their current front office rolled in, they minimized his role, gave him permission to look elsewhere, and the Avs were like, we take everything of Columbus's. Come to us. And that's really where it started. Once he got to the Avs, the whole Colorado Columbus thing began. No coincidence. But, anyway, his role is, he's obviously comfortable with the amount of say that he gets. From us on the outside, trying to know that, I think would be impossible. But it's a meaningful voice. Otherwise, he would not be hanging out here.
Well, stuff is going to fall on his head almost immediately, right? And look, I get it. I understand internally the Avs have understood what they're going to do in free agency probably for a while now. Already had that pretty decent idea of what they're looking at. But he gets promoted to GM 2 days before free agency.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Well, I actually had this thought. This was something that I've been expecting now. Whenever the season ended, you had a feeling this was going to happen to AJ's. Like AJ said, they didn't let him go speak to a couple other people, or a couple other teams. That typically means that you're going to take care of him. Chris McFarland was fine with not going to speak to other teams. That means he knew he was going to get taken care of. My only thought was, I said, ooh, I wonder if they'll do this before the draft. I thought, honestly, they'd wait till after the draft, after free agency, but I have a feeling that Joe Sakic will be pretty involved in a couple days, and there will be a lot of group discussions. So I don't know. I maybe even look at it as, hey, if they go out and get a couple good signings done, Chris McFarland gets to take some credit right off the bat.
Okay. We'll do more of this tomorrow. We'll talk a lot about the free agency landscape and market there, but I am curious, who's on your guys' brains? Obviously, Dylan Strome was a hot topic the other day with Chicago not going to QO him. There's a bunch of names floating around everywhere right now. What's on the forefront of everyone's mind when it comes to free agency? It doesn't even have to be Avs related.
Oh, Mike.
Your mic broke.
Dylan Strome. Not Avs related. It's Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, that's maybe the biggest name left.
Well, because that is a landscape changing piece if he gets to market.
Yeah.
Somebody will do something irresponsible for that guy. And then the other guy, as chat just brought him up, the other guy that really stands out to me is what's happening with Evgeny Malkin. Because that's a guy that you think, no chance does that guy ever get to market. Well, here we are, just a couple of days away, and it's like, what do you do with a guy like that?
Those are the two
non-Avs guys that I'm curious
could
about.
Could for Malkin be a big 1 year big money candidate for someone out there?
For me, come please here. I guess Claude Giroux too. Well, Claude Giroux, same conversation.
Might have to divert some yacht fund money for this one.
Give him $7 or $8 million. Let him know.
Because, like, Malkin's not someone who needs to, like, bet on himself. Like, he's still Evgeny Malkin. You can give that dude one big, you know, 1 year big money, and he'll go get another deal next year immediately.
Yeah.
Jesper Bratt is another one. He's RFA, but he's another one that I'm going to be really interested to see what New Jersey does. So he was a name that was floating around out there at trade deadline time. He's an interesting one.
New Jersey, I think, is interesting in general because they've got Jesper Bratt, but they've also got Pavel Zacha that I'm keeping an eye on as one of those. I always try and have a list of guys that I'm intrigued by going into the offseason, some under-the-radar guys. Denis Gurianov was on that list, just given the way that his season in Dallas went, and then the season ended, and he was, like, the first guy they signed. So it was like, what the hell, man? I am really curious about Pavel Zacha.
New Jersey's interesting in general, right? Because they're kind of in that place where they need to make the right decisions to take the next step and start being a properly competitive hockey team with what they have on the forward side.
Yeah, well, and so the way that they played last year was really selfish hockey. It's really guys chasing stats, guys, you know. And, like, you don't have the season Jesper Bratt did without being obviously a really, really good hockey player to boot. But there's a lot of, okay, how much of this point production is conducive to winning hockey? How much of it is, can we actually, you know, is it just that they needed better defense and better goaltending? Or is it a team-wide attitude of guys who are all stat chasing? Because when I watched them play, I saw really talented but a really selfish hockey club that does not have a system of accountability in place to try and rein in some of the selfish bullshit that goes on the ice. And I think that was a microcosm of that was Mikhail Maltsev getting to Colorado and watching the culture shock that he experienced where the Avs chewed him up and spit him out because his experience in New Jersey was way more laid back than what he had in with the Avs. So, but Zacha was one of the few guys that when I watched them, I thought this is a really interesting guy that's actually putting in the work 200 feet. I'm still shocked his shot has not translated better from juniors because he was such a great goal scorer and not seeing it translate has been a bit of a surprise to me, but he's a guy that I like. Big Andrew Kopp fan. I think that I think that that's where the Avs go in free agency. I think that their first call for their 2C job is probably to Andrew Kopp, and then you know whatever happens from there. I don't think either Strome would be any good in Colorado, although I am intrigued by the idea of Dylan in a more middle six forward capacity.
Okay.
Lot riveting discussion. Lots of back and forth.
Yeah, we need. I need some names. Jesse, Megan. No other names. That's it.
Puljujärvi.
Oh yeah.
Gonna be very, very interesting.
Just, that whole situation just remains fascinating, but and I
even
can't.
Even if unrelated to Colorado, I'm still so curious where he goes and how he's utilized. I just think he has a lot of untapped potential.
I wonder how different, maybe not different at all, but I wonder how things go if Puljujärvi puts that puck in, that bounces over Darcy Kemper over the net and pops out in front. How different do things go in that series if he scores that goal and the Avs have to chase that game? Maybe no different. I don't think it changes the series or anything, but it was one of those little moments that I remember from that series where I'm just like, if this goes differently, I wonder how much harder it gets. So he's an interesting guy.
Evan, with a response tweet to me here saying, this jersey is an abomination, but it was an abomination made almost specifically for me. I will not take Rudo's slander on the pod knowing some of his horrifying food takes.
Look, man, if there was a Godzilla Nordiques jersey out there, I'd be buying that shit. Like, we all have a thing, right?
I might have to put some mustard on that jersey at this point. We'll see.
I don't know, man. I think the mustard on pizza.
Yeah, that take was
might have been, yeah, just might have been the one
bad food
take that I could not handle. I just couldn't handle that one.
That one was wild for sure. Nice. Lots of work still to do this off season. Also, tomorrow dev camp starts, which some of us will be at. If I'm feeling like I am not sick, I will be there certainly Tuesday and Thursday. Some other of us will be there Tuesday and Thursday. Wednesday, we'll see. We're definitely going to be doing a live all day long Wednesday with some of us. Some of us will probably be at dev camp. People might pop in and out. So we'll see. But either way,
I'm going to interrupt you on dev camp because I a couple days ago, look, I've felt like crap for the last like 9 days, finally feeling better these last couple. I was exhausted. By the end of that cup run, I was so worn out from back and forth to the ring, back and forth to the games, back down to morning skate practices and the other. But I was actually telling Hannah on, I think, Thursday or Friday, watching the draft, I said, I miss being at the rink. I already miss being at the rink. It just became so much of a habit, blah, 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 blah. So I really was. I was like, you know what? Dev camp, we talked about it the other day on the show. They're always a little tough, but I'm excited to be there. I started seeing videos of other teams that started their dev camp today. It's not that I'm dreading it now, but I even after we talked about it, I had already kind of forgotten how dev camps go. And I saw a bunch of guys out there with no stick doing the one leg pivot. Skate's
never fun. Yeah.
And it's just like, whoo! Dev camp is never what you build it up to be in your head. But it'll be good to be there.
So I used to live like 15 minutes tops from the practice facility. And now I live like 50 minutes from it. And the idea of waking 50, the idea of waking up at like 6:30 in the morning to sit through morning traffic to get to dev camp, knowing that they're going to roll out of there with no sticks and be doing the, you know, the stretch and the knees and the, oh my God.
50 minutes. You moved somewhere. I thought I knew where you moved.
Long drive, dude.
Where'd you move?
We can talk about this when we're not on the air.
I will say,
because I know two landmarks that you live near, and the time totals you give me for the two of them do not add up.
I will say, we've been asking for this for years. Avs, it's free content. Stream your dev camp. Everyone will tune in on YouTube. I'm telling you.
Somebody tweeted at me the other day and was like, why aren't they streaming it? And I was like, well, for one, FSC.
Yeah, that's true.
And two, Avs.
I've always kind of assumed like the Avs have a decent connection hidden in the background there, but the public Wi-Fi is not the best.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. We should do, we should prove that point tomorrow when we're there by trying to do like a Twitter space with all of us sitting there watching these kids. Yeah. Because that's going to be, it's going to be brutal. And I guarantee you it is open to the public. So if anybody wants to sit through this with us,
come hang, say hi.
Yep. We'll be there. We'll just be sitting in the stands with everybody else. It'll be a good time like always, but, I tell you, the hardest part of getting through it is, especially on skate day, is the between sessions waiting.
When you have an hour between another session of an hour of skating, and you're just like, I could just go home.
You're like, you know what, dude? They aren't doing anything.
Just put all the draft picks in one group and the invites in the other, and it'll be fine.
Only so Chris Romain is going to be there, and the goalie won't be there.
Why not? Yeah, no, I mean, I meant like,
I know what you mean, but I'm just saying, I just thought that was.
Yeah, I'm counting that as a dub, as I don't have to say anything about goalies this year. No offense to the invites, but.
Somebody did ask about the NCAA kids. NCAA kids have been going to dev camp forever. It's rookie camp they can't go to.
They've always been allowed. Again, the NCAA rules, they can even technically go to rookie camps. They just can't play in games. Mm. And they have to pay their own way.
Yeah, they have to pay their own way.
They can't get put up in any of the team hotels. They can't take the team bus. They can't do any of that stuff. So it doesn't really make sense.
It's crazy. Even with the NIL stuff, you could just be like,
right. Sponsorship.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh, we're sponsoring this guy to go to rookie camp.
That's interesting. I wonder if teams will start doing stuff to like get around that. That's funny. Sponsored by KSE or something.
Getting a local business to sponsor
rookie camp trip.
Just KSE charities. Boom.
All I'm saying is all this just sets up is for Sean Behrens to be the Avs' first NIL athlete. That's all it is.
All right. Any final thoughts on today, what's happened over the weekend or coming up with free agency? Megan?
The hockey player that brought crystals with him to Worlds over the summer was not qualified by the Sens, so he is available. He's going to hit the market. Something to think about.
Who is he?
Adam Gaudette. He's a center. He wouldn't actually make sense.
I like Adam Gaudette.
It really wouldn't make sense, but just something to think about.
What's gone on with Adam Gaudette? I mean, he was such a big deal coming out of Northeastern. And like he had a really good NHL year a couple years ago. And it was like he got to Chicago and it was like his career just tanked after that.
Using the wrong crystals.
He's using the wrong. Oh no.
Okay, AJ.
This guy wants to know why this person wants to know why we aren't talking more about what we think the Avs will do in free agency. Part of it is just because they have so many of their own guys to re-sign first that we're trying to let as much of that play out as possible before we get fully into it. But tomorrow we just have to. It's the day before.
We're blowing it out tomorrow with all of our free agency thoughts. So. Yep.
So you guys are going to be really mad when I suggest PK Subban.
Yep, I am going to be mad about that. Jesse?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, we're going to wrap.
Talking about tomorrow.
Yep, we are out of here for the day. We appreciate all of y'all hanging out with us. Again, if you want to come say hello to at least some of us in person, some of us, if not all of us, will be at Dev Camp Tuesday and Thursday. Wednesday, we'll be live all day long on YouTube, so come hang out, watch free agency unfold with us. Be sure to check all of that out. Other than that, we love you, and we will catch you on the next one.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.